move on to offenders. Mr. Cimino.
Good afternoon.
We have several, I believe.
We do. As we've done in the past, I'll just give a brief introduction and then turn it over to our law enforcement officers who were involved with the case.
Before we get that far here, what's the first case?
It's Mr. Edward Lowry, Jr.
Okay. Is Mr. Edward Lowry, Jr. in the audience? Would you ask in the hallway if Mr. Edward Lowry is in the audience? Mr. Lowry is not present. Ms. Lowry has been summoned to appear here today.
That's correct, and we may have the same situation with the next person, but all of the individuals brought before you, as you'll see in the packet, have been personally served service letters before they, you know.
Mr. Lowry is from Maryland. I don't anticipate Mr. Lowry's attendance at a commission meeting ever in the foreseeable future. If we can proceed with this case, you can put it on hold until maybe he appears next month or the month after that. Mr. Neal.
I would say we go ahead and hear them so we don't have to keep calling these officers back and putting them on the agenda. And so they've been noticed, and we should go ahead and hear the case whether they're here or not. That's my opinion.
Do others agree?
I agree.
I see heads nodding. Mr. Cimino, please proceed. We will continue this matter with Mr. Lowry not present.
Okay. Mr. Edward Lowry, Jr., a commercial fisherman registration licensee, had 7 convictions on August 31st, 2015 for 4 counts of failure to report mandatory harvest reports and 3 counts of forging a public document record. Officer Gary Fox is here to present the case.
Officer Fox. Do you hereby swear the testimony you give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Please state your name for the record.
Gary Fox.
Can you tell us about this case?
Yes, sir. This case stemmed from a several-month investigation starting back in December of 2014 on through into probably March, April of 2015. I saw Mr. Lowry dredging oysters off of Saxis Island, Virginia, with a Maryland registered boat. And when I observed the pickup truck that he was coming up to the dock every morning in, was also a Maryland registered pickup truck. I approached Mr. Lowry and wanted to talk to him about his residency. He told me he didn't have the time to talk to me about it. He was busy. I told him, fine, I would check it myself. When it began the investigation back, I found that Mr. Lowry first purchased a license on October 12, 2011, which was a non-residential license, which would not entitle him to dredge oysters in the state of Virginia by code. Back in 2012, he went ahead and changed to a residential license, which would permit him to dredge oysters within the state of Virginia, being a resident of the state of Virginia. The address he used back then was 8402 Atlantic Road, Atlantic, Virginia, with a P.O. Box 2460 call. When I started checking into this, I was familiar with the address 8402 Atlantic Road. Matter of fact, my house, the street that I live on, comes out to the end of that house every day. I have to bypass it every day. I noticed Mr. Lowry's truck was never there. I began to do surveillance on Mr. Lowry. I found Mr. Lowry a days after dredging oysters, going staying at motels on Shinktag, Virginia, the best value motel located on Maddox Boulevard. Other days, I trailed Mr. Lowry back into the state of Maryland. The investigation continued. Again, I checked through DMV records, Virginia voter registration records, his taxes. Mr. Lowry did pay residential taxes for 1 year and then paid partial residential taxes for the next couple years. Mr. Lowry did obtain a voter registration card in Heathville, Virginia. That was an address that in approximately the third or fourth year he changed to was the Heathville address. which was also a fictitious address. He never lived in that address also. I did surveillance on Mr. Lowry up into Tillman Island. I followed him up there. I followed the vehicle up into Tillman Island and watched it. I also went into the state of Maryland, into the voter registration, where he was registered as a voter registration for Tillman Island. He paid property taxes in Tillman Island. I had the paperwork from where he had his residence and paid the taxes on that. Basically, I finally got, after with the Commonwealth attorney, presented the evidence to him. We went ahead and obtained felony warrants for falsifying state documents, and at this time he had also not reported for the 4 months, December, January, February, and March of 14-15 year on his Oyster mandatory reporting. We went ahead and obtained the warrants for the false information on the state document and for the non-reporting. We went ahead and finally got Mr. Lowry into Virginia on June, I think it was the 21st of June, where I could go ahead and interview him. At that time, he gave me a full confession stating that he never has lived in the state of Virginia, that he did falsify all the documents to obtain the waterman's card. I asked him why he did this. He informed me, which I already knew, he had been banded from the state of Maryland from ever dredging oysters again because he dredged oysters illegally in sanctuaries. The gentleman that was on board with him is Mr. Fluharty, which was a co-conspirator, which I have also arrested, but I have not been able to serve. I went into Tillman Island 4 times to be able to serve Mr. Lowry before I got him served. He went to court on August the 31st, did a plea agreement with the Commonwealth of Virginia, had the felonies reduced down to misdemeanors of giving false information to a police officer, and pled guilty to the 4 counts of failure to report on his mandatory reporting. He received 6 months, 10 days in jail, spent 10 days in jail, 6 months suspended on good behavior. On his, also had a $200 fine, I believe it was, on the 4 counts of failed to report mandatory reporting. First count was a $50 fine. Second count was a $100 fine. Third count was a $150 fine. Fourth count was a $150 fine, suspended. Mr. Lowry did spend his 10 days in Accomack County Jail. Any questions?
Any questions of Officer Fox? Nice job.
Thank you, sir.
That's good police work.
Thanks,
Mr. Smina.
Yes, sir.
Are there harvest records, do you know, that Mr. Edward Lowry harvested oysters in Virginia and reported them on his mandatory harvest reports? There were past reports for previous years. Okay.
We'll have to look. Sorry.
Regardless.
Yeah. Well, at the time of this case, they weren't in, so I don't know if any others were turned in. But Officer Fox did work with us, and at that time, there wasn't anything turned in.
Okay.
Well, this is a somewhat unique case, at least that we've brought before you. Given the severity of the situation, the number of convictions, and the specific details of this case involving a non-resident illegally harvesting oysters, staff is recommending a 2-year revocation. In accordance with 28.2-232 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends the Commission revoke all Mr. Lowry's licenses to take or catch fish, shellfish, or marine organisms for a period of 2 years from the date of this Commission meeting, January 26, 2016, through January 25, 2018. Staff also recommends the Commission prohibit the issuance, reissuance, and renewal of any of Mr. Lowry's licenses during this revocation period. Staff recommends the Commission revoke all Mr. Lowry's fishing privileges within the Commonwealth's tidal waters for a period of 2 years from the date of this meeting, January 26, 2016, through January 25, 2018.
Mr. Zedra.
So it's been determined that this Mr. Lowry is not a resident of Virginia. Is that correct? Why would you only revoke his privileges for 2 years? Why don't you revoke it forever?
I can answer that. In the Code of Virginia.
We'd go at 5 years, though.
Yes. But the Code of Virginia that gave us the authority, the commission the authority to go to a 5-year maximum revocation did not take effect until last July 1st. Okay. So that's July 1st of 2015, and these offenses predated that. I also want the record to reflect that there are two priors for Mr. Lowry in Virginia, one in 2013, possession of 3 bushels over the limit of oysters, 2011, no harvest permit on board for oysters. And this is in addition to Officer Fox's testimony that he saw Mr. Lowry dredging for oysters. Pretty good indication that Mr. Lowry was oystering while a Maryland resident, which is banned by the Code of Virginia.
That answers my question. Thank you.
Any questions? Mr. Erskine.
So for the forging of documents, he received 6 months, 10 days in jail. And 6 months of that was suspended for good behavior. So he'd spent 10 days in jail, but 6 months of good behavior. This is good. If this is good behavior, I'd hate to see bad behavior. I'd make a motion. I wish it could be a more severe penalty, quite honestly, with these circumstances. I commend the officer's commitment and due diligence in this case. I would accept staff recommendation.
It's a motion by Mr. Erskine. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. France. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? The chair votes aye. Most happily. Mr. Lowry's license and title fishing privileges are revoked for the next 2 years, effective today. Thank you, Mr. Cimino. Next case.
Mr. Baichao Chen. Again, all of the cases before you, that these individuals were properly served service letters.
All right, let me see if he is available. Mr. Baichao Chen in the room. Would you ask in the hallway, please?
I was contacted by an individual yesterday that said that Mr. Chen was working in New Hampshire and was more than unlikely to get back, but she would let him know that the service letter did indeed mean that he needed to appear, and I explained that it would be up to the pleasure of the commission on how to handle this.
What's the pleasure of the commission?
Hear the case?
I see nods. I see universal nods. Let's proceed. Mr. Cimino. Okay.
Mr. Chen, a commercial fisherman registration licensee, had 7 convictions on September 8th, 2015 for 1 count of over-the-limit commercial speckled trout, 1 count of improper marking of a gill net, 2 counts of possession of oversized red drum, 2 counts of exceeding distance a gill net may be set across a waterway, and 1 count of over-the-limit commercial red drum. Officer Dyes is here to present the
Officer
case.
Officer Dyes. You hereby swear the testimony you give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Help you God.
Yes, I do.
Please state your name for the record.
Officer Matt Dyes. Members of the commission, this case initially started with quite a few complaints of improperly marked gill nets in the area of the cove in the Elizabeth River Southern Branch and also around the hot ditch of the old power building. On February 11th, approximately 11 p.m., myself and Officer Stevens, we inspected the catch of Mr. Chen. He had actually pulled into the boat ramp, the Chesapeake Yachts boat ramp, and he was in the process of unloading his catch and unloading his vessel onto his on his trailer. He had a van that which he was also storing all his fish he was loading into in the process of leaving. There were 5 totes on the ramp themselves, 4 of them of which contained speckled trout and red drum. 1 tote contained a gill net that he admitted to us that he had just fished. He willingly opened the back doors of his van, which contained 15 total totes of all full of fish. Each tote is usually approximately, if it's full of fish, approximately 100 pounds worth of fish inside of each one. He stated that he only had 3 or 4 red drum in that entire catch. And upon inspection, we found that 19 red drum were actually found inside that, those within those 15 totes. Obviously, the commercial fishing limit is 5, 18 to 25 for any commercial waterman. 5 of the red drum are also to be found to be over 25 inches in length, so they're also oversized as well. Those 14 red drum were seized. They were turned over to the Fisheries Department of VMRC for sampling. The total of the 14 red drum totaled 88 pounds, and he was also issued summonses for all of those as well. We continued to receive complaints after February 11th, and myself and Officer Stevens, along with a few other officers, set up surveillance on the area in order to try to see if we could come across these particular nets that we were receiving complaints for. And to give you a quick pretense, on February 12th, VMRC posted a memo reminding all commercial watermen that 80% of the commercial speckled trout harvest had already been met. So on February 13th, we received a complaint of 2 illegally set gill nets that were also improperly marked in the area of the hot ditch. We had observed Mr. Chen fishing these nets later that evening, and was also found that 2 of the nets were actually extended more than 90% across the waterway. And with that is also in violation. It was a small area, approximately about 150 to 200 yards across, and the nets were basically shore to shore. We met Mr. Chen back at the same boat ramp, Chesapeake Yachts, again, and we found 10 full totes and 6 trash bags that were full of fish, all of which were speckled trout and also red drum. There was also one other unmarked gill net. He made the statement to us that he had never sold fish and that he did not sell the fish. And one of the officers had actually, to backtrack one more night, the night prior, one of the officers, Mr. Chen, actually had a receipt from Amory Seafood in Hampton at the time that had, I'm not exactly sure, I believe it was around 100 pounds worth of fish that he actually had sold about a week prior to. At the time, we weren't aware of any extenuating violations, so we actually did not seize that. But the second night, he did not have that on him, and he had also made the comment that he never sold any fish. But he also did have a copy of the summary of gillnet laws and regulations for Virginia tidal waters, the commercial fishing and Virginia mandatory harvest reporting. So he had in possession all the paperwork necessary for a commercial waterman to harvest speckled trout, red drum, gill nets, whatever it may be. He had an entire packet that was full of all the information. Everything was also highlighted for the commercial limits for the speckled trout, red drum, and so on. He did state to us he had 2 other nets that were set out by the hot ditch that were also improperly marked. We inspected the net that he actually had on board, and it was found that was improperly marked. And he also stated that there were 2 other nets that were also marked just the same that were still out. He was issued summonses also for the red drum and over limit commercial speckled trout, all of which were seized. The total seizure for February 13th was 394 speckled trout, approximately 2,112 pounds. The red drum was 14 fish at approximately 91 pounds. And he was also issued summonses for the gill nets themselves. The total poundage of just that particular night was 3,191 pounds of fish. That were all illegal, harvested illegally. On September 8th, the case was finalized. Chesapeake City Court, he did enter a guilty plea for all charges. He received 12 months in jail, 11 of which were suspended, and I believe he did serve 1 month total for that. The courts themselves also, they relinquished his right to fish commercially for 3 years. It lost his privilege to fish in general for 3 years. 3 years probation, and he relinquished all fishing equipment to the officers of VMRC, which was totes, gill nets, anchors, basically all his gear. We also made an attempt. The judge also granted us to be able to seize his vessel and motor along with it because, again, that was part of the fishery itself, but it was determined that we were unable to actually seize the vessel itself. And his total cost of fines was $6,105. Questions?
They think we're tough.
Any questions of Officer Dyes? Thank you, Matt. Mr. Smita. There's a staff recommendation here that probably seems a little redundant, but let's hear it.
Yes, sir. Unfortunately, a lot of these cases we're hearing, due to the extreme nature of these cases, that we're moving beyond what we've had in the sanctions guidelines because they are that extreme. So the commission's guidelines for sanctions would specify that two convictions of exceeding the commercial possession limit or two convictions of oversized fish within a 12-month period should result in at least 1 year probation. But as I mentioned, this goes far beyond that. So given the severity of the situation and the number of convictions, staff is recommending a 2-year revocation in accordance with 28.2-238 of the Code of Virginia. Excuse me. Staff recommends the commission revoke all Mr. Chen's licenses to take or catch fish, shellfish, or marine organisms for a period of 2 years from the date of this commission meeting, January 26, 2016, through January 25, 2018. Staff also recommends the commission prohibit the issuance, reissuance, or renewal of Mr. Chen's licenses during this revocation period. Staff recommends the commission revoke all Mr. Chen's fishing privileges within the Commonwealth's tidal waters for a period of 2 years from the date of this commission meeting, January 26, 2016, through January 25, 2018.
These offenses were predating the 5-year law that went into effect last July. I wish we had had that tool at this time. Mr. Zetron.
Yeah, I think we need to make it clear to the public that this is the maximum punishment that we can assess this individual.
It is not nearly enough, in my estimation. Ms. Haney.
Motion to approve staff recommendations.
Second. Second by Mr. France. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well, quite happily. Mr. Chen's licenses are revoked for the next 2 years, as well as his tidal fishing privileges effective today. Mr. Cimino.
Yes, sir. The next individual is Michael L. Green. However, when I turn this over to the officer, the next three individuals are all part of one case, so the introduction from, or the explanation from the officer will be regarding that case and all three individuals on the list.
I would ask the chair that I be recused from the next three individuals.
So that would be Mr. Green, Calvin West, and Timothy Lee Jenkins?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Mr. France is recusing himself here. Is Mr. Michael Green in the audience?
Yes, sir.
Please come forward, sir. I'll swear you and Officer Weston at the same time here. Please raise your right hand. Do you hereby swear the testimony that you give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Please state your names for the record.
Officer Patrick West.
Just sit tight there, Mr. Green, here. Mr. West, please proceed.
It's a very complex case that involves three individuals on two separate days. I'd like to give a brief summary of what happened total and then break it down person by person to kind of give you an idea of what went on. During the oyster season of 2015 in the York River Rotational Area, I received information on some commercial watermen that may have been making two trips and exceeding their daily limit of oysters. Began investigating the individuals that were involved. The two names that were given to me were Calvin West and Timmy Lee Jenkins. I began looking at financial records that Crabs Express had for Mr. West and Mr. Jenkins. I executed and served search warrants on Crabs Express for all financial records, shellfish harvest tags, and all data and information on Calvin West, Timmy Jenkins, Michael Green, and Jennifer Green. The record showed that Calvin West and Timmy Jenkins and Jennifer Green had sold 24 bushels of oysters on January 7th, 2015, and Calvin West and Timmy Jenkins had sold 16 bushels on January 8th, 2015, along with several other dates that weren't pertaining to the case. Once I reviewed all information, I came across the sale of 24 bushels of oysters to Crab Express on January 7th, 2015. The names on the shellfish harvester tags were Calvin West, MRC number 5554, Timmy Jenkins, MRC number 008265, and Jennifer Green, MRC number 008829. I then ran all MRC information on all three people. Mr. Jenkins did not purchase a hand scrape license in 2015 until January the 8th. Jennifer Green had not purchased a valid commercial waterman's card for the year 2015 and had not purchased a hand scrape license. Once I identified who Ms. Green was, I went and interviewed and gathered all information about the history of Harvest and Orchards. During my interview with Ms. Green, she stated that she did not give anyone permission to use her commercial card. She also stated that she had a conversation with her husband, Michael Green, about using a card so that Calvin West and Timmy Jenkins could harvest orchards. She stated in her written statement that she did not think it was a good idea, and that was the last that she had heard about it. She also stated she did not ever harvest orchards, and her card had not been renewed for the year 2015. After speaking to Mr. Green, I spoke with her husband, Michael Green, MRC number 1982. Mr. Green talked with me and stated that Calvin West had asked for his help because his boat was broken down, and he decided to help Calvin West and Timmy Jenkins. Mr. Green decided on January 7th that he would use his boat, the Cripple Crab, to take Mr. West and Mr. Jenkins to the public rock and let them harvest their daily limit of orchards. Mr. Green stated that he did not help harvest in any way. He piloted the boat until they were done. Mr. West and Mr. Jenkins harvested 24 bushels of oysters. Mr. Jenkins did not have a hand scrape license on this date, and therefore he was over his legal harvest limit for that day. According to my interview with Mr. West and Mr. Green, neither one of them knew Mr. Jenkins did not have the proper license for that day. Our license history shows that Timmy Jenkins did not purchase a hand scrape license in 2015 until January the 8th. Ms. Green was supposed to be on the boat, but she could not make it. But according to mandatory harvesting reports that Mr. West submitted to our agency, Ms. Green harvested orchards with him and Mr. Jenkins on January the 7th. These reports were reviewed, and after a search warrant was served and executed at the main office, Mr. West stated that he had filled out the harvesting reports, and Mr. Jenkins stated that Mr. West was responsible for filling out the harvesting reports. While Mr. Green was piloting the boat, Mr. West and Mr. Jenkins told Mr. Green that they were done. Mr. Green stated to me that Mr. West and Mr. Jenkins had told him they had harvested 24 bushels of oysters. Mr. Green told them they harvested too many and needed to return 8 bushels back to the water. This is when Mr. Green decided to use his wife's MRC card to help Mr. West and Mr. Jenkins keep their 24 bushels of oysters. Mr. Green then took his boat back to Aberdeen Creek, offloaded the oysters with Mr. Jenkins, and took them to Crabs Express and received payment for the orchards that Calvin West, Timmy Jenkins, and Jennifer Green had harvested that day. An employee at Crabs Express handed the check to Mr. Green for the amount of $1,128. Mr. Green said, "No, that's not mine. You need to give that to Timmy." Once the orchards had been sold, Mr. Green went back to Aberdeen Creek to check on his boat and dropped off Mr. Jenkins. Later, the check was cashed by Calvin West, and money was divided three ways. Mr. West made an attempt to offer Mr. Green his share of the money, and he strongly refused and took no payment for the use of his boat. Michael Green or his wife did not receive any money. Mr. Green stated that he was only helping a fellow waterman and wanted no money in return. The problem with January 7th involves the forgery of a shellfish harvesting tag and the use of the vessel of Cripple Crab. Mr. Green had already harvested 24 bushels of oysters with his crew, and according to our regulations, the vessel can only harvest one daily limit per vessel. When I interviewed Mr. West and Mr. Jenkins, they stated that they were unaware Mr. Green and his crew had already harvested their daily limit of oysters. Mr. West's brother, James West, was a crew member for Michael Green. Michael Green also stated that Calvin West had called him early that morning on January 7th to ask him if he was still going to take Timmy and himself back out to harvest their daily limit. On January 8th, Mr. Green took Mr. West and Mr. Jenkins back out to the public rock so they could harvest their daily limit of oysters. Mr. West and Mr. Jenkins only harvested 16 bushels of oysters, and after they were done harvesting, they offloaded their catch and sold them to Crabs Express. Mr. Green did not help harvest the oysters in any way. He simply piloted the boat. The Cripple Crab and its crew had already caught their daily limit of 24 bushels of oysters. On January 8th, 2015, Mr. Green had contacted one of our officers and checked to see if he could take another waterman back out to harvest their daily limit using his boat. He left a message to one of our officers who was off duty. On January 9th, the officer returned his call as soon as she came back on, and Mr. Green stated that the officer told him that they were not sure if they was allowed to let someone use his boat that had already used to harvest his daily catch. He then stated the officer stated they would check back with him, and in a matter of minutes, the officer returned Mr. Green's call and said that he could not use his boat to harvest two daily limits of orchards. During my investigation involving Michael Green, he provided me with several written statements in the course of my investigation. Mr. Green made himself available to answer all questions as needed. Mr. Green took responsibility for his actions and cooperated fully with the investigation. I believe that Mr. Green did not realize that he was in violation for helping Mr. West and Mr. Jenkins. Once he made contact with one of our officers and was told that he could not allow another waterman to use his vessel, he only made trips with his crew. Mr. Green was cooperative with all our officers when we had information involving the location of persons that were involved in a felony act involving a boat. He was helpful in providing information that would help locate the two individuals. Since Mr. Green's case has been finalized, he has contacted me and other officers to make sure that he's obeying our regulations and laws. He's contacted our agency on several occasions to verify that he stays in compliance with the law. I believe he has respect for what our agency is trying to do, and he only wants to stay in compliance. Mr. Green's history shows that he does try to comply with the regulations and laws. Since Mr. Green's court case has been finalized, he received threats to his family, to himself, and also been the victim of property damage to his boat and other personal property.
Questions of Officer West? No questions. Hold on. This isn't a matter before you. Please sit. By the way, take your hats off. All right. Thank you, Mr. West. Mr. Green, you want to approach the microphone?
All I can do is apologize for being here.
Has he been sworn in?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Is there anything you'd like to add or anything you'd like to explain? Mr. Taggart.
Let me ask you, tell me what possessed you to take people out for free, essentially?
Please stand in front of the microphone. Thank you, Mr. Green.
It's in my nature to help everyone, and it makes no difference who it may be. When people are in struggle, I do my best, as I would think my Lord would do, to take in, I read in my Bible that if your ox is stuck in mud, you're supposed to get it out. And I believe that goes, to me, outside of church, you're supposed to show good deed and try to help. It matters when people are maybe not less as fortunate as you are. And I apologize.
Mr. Green, let me ask a question here. You filled out the harvest tag?
Yes, sir. I fill out the harvest tags every morning.
And then there was a check.
Yes, sir.
You did not take any of the money from that sale?
No, sir.
Why not?
Because that was not the interest of taking them out. I gave them and loaned them a whole rig for their boat. I went to Deep Creek and bought his boat home for him and helped him put it on. If you're looking to help someone, you can't be looking for a money price tag on it. If he didn't have money to do it the first time, why would you take money from someone you knew who needed it to get it going?
You were given threats? You heard threats after all this?
I had threats sent to me by messengers.
What kind of threats?
Well, one is my dad, who's 76 years old, who's worked with me ever since he kind of dismantled his boat. And one was, there's going to be a hunting accident this year. You're going to get killed, you and your son, and your dad looked like a coyote sitting in the field because he's not able to walk far.
Do you know who issued these threats?
Well, it's hearsay. And I was told to him who it was given to, but,
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Questions from the commission for Mr. Green. Thank you. Hold tight, please, Mr. Green. Mr. Smith. What's the staff recommendation in this case?
Staff's recommendation, the Commission's guidelines for sanctions specify that one conviction of harvesting greater than 50% over the limit of shellfish within a 12-month period should result in at least 1 year of probation. Given the severity of the situation, not including all of the extenuating circumstances you've heard here today, staff is recommending a 2-year revocation. In accordance with 28.2-232 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends the Commission revoke all Mr. Green's licenses to take or catch fish, shellfish, or marine organisms for a period of 2 years from the date of this Commission meeting, January 26, 2016, through January 25, 2018. Staff also recommends the Commission prohibit the issuance, reissuance, or renewal of any of Mr. Green's licenses during this revocation period. Staff recommends the Commission revoke all Mr. Green's fishing privileges within the Commonwealth's tidal waters for a period of 2 years from the date of this Commission meeting, January 26, 2016, through January 25, 2018.
Mr. Erskine.
I have a question. I'm not sure if it's for staff or the officer or Mr. Green, but in part of the testimony, it seems to be that there was a phone call made or attempted phone call made to an officer that happened to be off duty. Who made that phone call? And then I guess the other question is who made the decision to go out and harvest a second time during that day?
Mr. Green had contacted one of our officers, and that officer was off that day. He did make an attempt to get an answer, you know, to the question he had. That officer returned the call the very next day that they marked on and came on for duty, and I believe they had spoke to Mr. Green. I believe it was the 9th is the date. I mean, they made an attempt to find out. So.
Sure. Yes, sir. I'm going to make a phone call, and I made an attempt to find out the regulation because another fellow waterman had told me that you couldn't take your boat back out. Well, the first didn't sound right, but, you know, I called to make sure she was off. And usually that lady also called me back. And she called me the next day, and then she first told me that morning that they had the same incidents happen and they were apprehended. And I was able to do that. And then she called me back and said, no, after further investigation of the rule, the boat was only allowed one window per day. So after that, I never went again.
Mr. Erskine.
So as a follow-up, Mr. Green, why did you not wait until you had confirmation? There was a question in your mind, why did you not wait until you had confirmation that following day?
I didn't know it was a question in mind at first until a fellow woman brought it up to my attention on the 8th. And when he made that brought it to my attention, that's when I made the phone call.
Okay, thank you.
Mrs. Kelm.
Question for Officer West.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you know who made the decision to sell 8 bushels in Jennifer Green's name? And secondly, did she have a history of selling to this buyer?
No, Ms. Green had no history whatsoever. She is just a commercial card holder. But she has a crab pot license is all that she holds. From my experience with the case, it was all three that were, you know, that had done it. You know, that it wasn't just one person. You couldn't place the blame on just one person.
Mrs. Cohn.
Would there have to, would there have to have been something already in place with the buyer to be able to sell in her name?
No, I believe Mr. West and Mr. Jenkins had just come up to the York River area. It was a time where it was very quick. They were catching a lot of oysters really fast. And as Mr. Green stated, he provided Mr. West and Mr. Jenkins all their equipment that they had on the boat. And I also believe he lined up the buyer for Mr. West because he had never worked in the York River before and who to sell to.
Thank you.
Mr. Tech.
Let me ask you, did they say why he was using his wife's name on the harvest tag?
Did who say why, sir?
Mr. Green. Excuse me. Did he say why he was using his wife Jennifer Green's name on harvest tag?
It was to harvest the extra 8 bushels, I believe that's what it was.
Okay.
So they could catch the 24 instead of 8. You got to realize, at this time of the year, I mean, 8:30, 9 o'clock. I mean, it was that fast. They were done. It was fast, and I believe the card was used so she could harvest.
Well, it matters before the commission, Mr. Ballard.
So, am I correct in thinking about this as almost two violations? We have the repeat trip, which is a violation, as well as then we have using a waterman's card that wasn't present on the vessel.
What you have is on the January 7th, you have the vessel making two trips. Technically, only one person on that boat was allowed to harvest 8 bushels of oysters, and that was Mr. West, because Jennifer did not have a valid commercial card, and Mr. Jenkins did not have a valid hand scrape license. Therefore, he couldn't harvest his 8. She couldn't harvest their 8. They took 24. So the only legal person on the boat on the 7th was Mr. West. Then you get into the shellfish tag, which is a forgery of state document, and so forth and so on.
So there's a tag issue, a use of a card issue, a double dipping on the harvest daily harvest limits, and then the other question I have is whether or not, Mr. Green, you knew that Mr. Jenkins didn't have a hand scrape license and wasn't eligible to harvest anything. You did not know that?
Mr. West or Mr. Green did not know that.
Okay. Are we missing anything, Mr. Green?
No, sir.
Mr. Ballard.
A question from Mr. Green. What were you aware of that was going on? Clearly, you're using your wife's card.
Yeah, well, you know, after the fact, we had returned, and I'd already said, hey, you weren't allowed to 16. And, you know, it probably didn't look very good on me, but, you know, I'm not one, as you noticed, who's in a lot of trouble. Try to abide by the laws of the land, governed by me, and I try to abide by human nature. Trying to help someone, made a bad call, made a bad judgment.
Mr. Tucker.
Well, I guess I could believe that, but you've got these other convictions, four of them.
Restitution was paid by the law. The lowest your point was part of the paper. Sure.
Mr. Tucker.
I make a motion to accept staff recommendation to your revocation.
It's motion by Mr. Tucker. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Ballard. Is there a discussion on the motion? I'll say from my perspective, just let me interject one thing here. While there are a number of significant violations here on this, Mr. Green, I think you know, one thing that does kind of drive me is that he declined to personally profit by taking a cut of the sale of the oysters. That says a little something to me. Let me just throw that out there for consideration. Any further discussion? There's a motion, there's a second. I'm going to call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes?
I have a nay.
No by Mr. Neal. The chair votes aye. The motion passes 6-1. Mr. France recused himself, so he's not part of the vote. Ms. Green, the commission just decided here to revoke your license and your title fishing privileges for the next 2 years, effective today. If you go with Chief Letterman here, he'll give you a letter that explains your appeal rights. Mr. Cimino,
you want
Calvin West is next? No, he's recusing himself for the next all three of these cases.
All right.
Let me double check. Is Mr. Calvin West in the room? Please come forward, sir. Sir, raise your right hand. You hereby swear the testimony you give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Yes,
please state your name for the record.
Calvin
West. Thank you, Mr. West.
During my interview with Calvin West, I asked him if Jennifer Green was supposed to be on the boat with him on January 7th. He said yes. Then I asked him if she was on board, and he said no. Once he confirmed that Mrs. Green was not on the boat, I asked him why he harvested 24 bushels of oysters when he knew he was only allowed to harvest 16. Mr. West stated that Michael Green said it was okay, that he had Jennifer's card. I then began to question Mr. West about Mrs. Green's endorsements on her commercial card. I asked him if he knew that the card was expired, and she did not have a 2015 hand scrape license. He stated that he did not know. After hearing him explain Mrs. Green's card, I questioned him about why he would take 24 bushels of oysters with Miss Green not being on the boat, and why he didn't check to make sure that her 2015 commercial card and waterman's information would allow him to harvest 24 bushels of oysters on January 7th. He stated he did not know. Once I explained to Mr. West that Miss Green did not have a current commercial waterman's card, I asked him if Mr. Jenkins had a valid 2015 hand scrape license. Mr. West stated that he did not know and that it was Mr. Jenkins' responsibility to have the proper licenses. I then told Mr. West that Mr. Jenkins did not possess a valid hand scrape license for January 7th, and Miss Green was not on the boat with them, and her commercial card was not current, and they were in violation of harvesting over the daily limit. Mr. West became disgruntled and placed the blame on Mr. Green. I asked Mr. West to explain to me why he did not use his boat to harvest on January 7th and the 8th. He stated to me that the boat was broken down, and he also said that Mr. Green had given them all the equipment on the boat, including the donkey motor and the mast, so that his crew could work in the York River. He even set Mr. West up with the buyer for Crabs Express to buy horses. He then stated that Mr. Green had offered to help him out by taking him out so they could catch the limit. I then asked Mr. West if he contacted Mr. Green by cell phone on the morning of January 7th to see if he was still going to take him out to work. Mr. West said yes. Mr. Green has stated that he told Mr. West that they were finishing up and it would be done shortly. At this point, Mr. West knew that the crippled crab had already harvested oysters. James West, Calvin's brother, was also a crew member on the crippled crab. So Calvin had a pretty good idea that the vessel crippled crab and his crew members had already harvested a daily limit of oysters that day. During my question with Mr. West, he took very little responsibility for the events that happened on the 7th and the 8th, and he made no attempt to check our regulations or contact an officer to verify what he was doing to stay in compliance with our regulations. Instead, he left the responsibility on Mr. Green, who did contact one of our officers, at which time he was told that he could not use the vessel to harvest 2 daily limits of oysters.
Any questions of Officer West? Mr. West?
Yes, sir.
What do you want the commission to know?
The days that I've been charged, where they were all within dredging. I'm a shaft tonger. I work in the James River. I'm a local over here. I'm not local from here. I'm from Gloucester. But I shaft tong in the James River. I don't know nothing about dredging limits or double dipping, as everybody had called it. Mr. Green had informed me that I asked him, was it legal for me to go, since they were catching the limit quick. He informed me and said, yes, it was. He had already made the phone call. My brother works on the crippled crab. So, therefore, Mr. Green is what I would call a honest person. I mean, even though what unfolded here today is, but I don't know the law as far as dredging. I know the oysters had to be 3 inches. I was allowed 8 bushels as long as I obtained a dredge license, which I did obtain the same day that I was supposed to go. I'm new to the waters. Officer Westwood can even vouch for that. I don't do that in that kind of business in the York River. Newport News, I knew all the regulations over this way. I know that I had to file my paperwork, which I did. I didn't lie on my paperwork. I put Mr. Green down because I didn't want to get in trouble for it. Mr. Green put it on there, and he did take a cut. Whether it was paid to him or paid to his crew, he told me to give it to somebody on his crew, which is my brother. That involved paying him for that day of work, that day it went before. That way he didn't have to pay him on Friday. So that money went to Mr. Green, regardless of who it was told to give to. And I have a recording on my phone that I let Officer West listen to. And Mr. Green, everything that he had just said to y'all was a lie. So, and I got that out in the car if the board would want to hear that.
It's really not pertinent, Mr. West, because Mr. Green's case has already been decided by the commission.
Yes, sir.
Your case is being decided now.
That's why I wanted y'all
to speak for yourself.
That's why I wanted y'all to hear it, because it would speak for me. It shows my defense as far as him calling the Virginia Marine Police. That's why I didn't call, and therefore afterwards I did contact, and there was already paperwork on me for the events that had unfolded.
Let me ask a simple question, Mr. West. Did you go to court on this matter?
Yes, sir, I did.
And what happened to court?
I had to pay $1,300. That's my oyster restitution back to the Chesapeake Bay Foundation. I was placed on 3-year probation, which I'm not allowed if I got in any more trouble, I wouldn't be allowed to appeal no board decision. And I need my license to work on the water because what I do for a living, that's all I've ever done. I mean, the ladies and gentlemen of the board would see it that way. I mean, it's all I do. It's all I know how to do. I was raised on the water.
Let's see if there's questions from the commission. Mrs. Kelm.
Question for law enforcement.
Yes, ma'am.
Did you state earlier that Mr. West was the only person on board properly licensed?
Yes, that on January 7th, yes.
And
because Ms. Green was not on the boat and Mr. Jenkins did not have a hand scrape license, so Mr. West was the only one. They still harvested 24 that day, but yes, he was the only one.
And do you know that his dredge license was purchased?
Yes, ma'am.
The same day?
Through our license history, yes, ma'am.
It was. Thank you.
Yes. Other questions from the commission? Officer West, let me ask you. What was Mr. West's demeanor and attitude through all this, through your investigation and that day?
It was fine. We had a little issue at the office when we did some paperwork, but he did send me a text and apologized. He was more or less upset, you know, what was going on, which I understand. But other than that, for the most part, I asked to meet with him. He met with me to interview him. And I believe that was the only time we spoke. So.
Thank you. Mr. Erskine.
There seems to be prior convictions, but 2011, not having oysters in the metallic tub, the point of landing, and then improperly marked gill net. Have you had any other issues?
I believe he had a felony oyster case in 2010, I believe is what it is. It's in the history. The case in Matthews, I believe, all taking orders, oysters off state bottom is what happened.
Okay, I didn't see that
it's
in the
showing up here.
In the document we have.
Well, Mr. West, let me ask you, is that true?
The felony, I paid all restitution to that. I've such then wrote the governor, got all my rights back, got my gun rights back. I've done everything that I had to do within the state guidelines to be, and that was not a commercial conviction. That was me personally out in the water on somebody's ground. That wasn't me out there commercial harvesting. The felony charge is not commercial. It shouldn't be on my commercial.
Okay. I'm not sure what you mean by it was not commercial. What was it?
We were down
on
a public landing. It was a public landing in Matthews at Winter Harbor.
I know the area.
And I picked up oysters. And when the Marine Police came down, I was cooperative. I admitted to you, I was picking up an oyster. And therefore, it was somebody's ground. It wasn't marked properly, but it was someone's ground. And
all right. I understand. Mr. Smita. What's the staff's recommendation on this twisted case?
Commission's guidelines for sanctions specify that one conviction of harvesting greater than 50% over the limit within a 12-month period should result in at least 1 year probation. However, given the severity of the situation and the number of convictions, staff is recommending a 2-year revocation. In accordance with 28.2-232 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends the commission revoke all Mr. West's licenses to take or catch fish, shellfish, or marine organisms for a period of 2 years from the date of this commission meeting, January 26, 2016, through January 25, 2018. Staff also recommends the commission prohibit the issuance, reissuance, and renewal of any of Mr. West's licenses during this revocation period. Staff recommends the commission revoke Mr. West's fishing privileges within the Commonwealth's tidal waters for a period of 2 years from the date of this commission meeting, January 26, 2016, through January 25, 2018.
Ms. West, I'm going to give you another opportunity here. You've heard the staff recommendation that your license and tidal fishing privilege be revoked for 2 years. What do you want to tell the commission?
I'll throw my feet at your mercy not to take my license for 2 years. It's all I have to feed my family. And I have two children. I don't see myself holding a land job, as you can tell. It's all I got. I mean, I love the water. And for me, drudging, I don't do it no more. I ain't going to do it no more. I'm a shaft honger, and I know how to do it. I mean, it's harder work, but I get it done. And I've never been placed on probation with the board. Nothing that has me in front of y'all. And I've been with y'all for a while. So, I mean, probation, I mean, with CFIT. I'm on 3 years probation with Gloucester. So, either way, if I mess up, I'm gone.
There's before the commission. Mr. Zeter.
What kind of disturbs me about this case is that, you know, the court stuff is over and done with and everything. Well, Mr. Green was just up here talking about how he was an innocent victim of this crime and he was such a good Samaritan and he didn't get any money or benefit out of the excessive oysters and stuff. And Mr. West gets up here and says, that's a bunch of lies. And I don't know who to believe. And instead of, you know, all of them coming up here and say, man, look, this was a screwed up day here. I don't know what the heck we were doing here. And we all step up here and we did wrong and we were asking for mercy and things like that. That's not what I'm hearing. I'm hearing these guys clashing with each other. And so I don't know what the true facts were that day. I mean, Mr. Green did a good job presenting his case and made us feel sorry for him. And this gentleman here is doing the same thing for him. But yet he's saying that what Mr. Green told you, that wasn't true at all. So I don't know who to believe in this situation as to what really their intent was. I mean, the bottom line, and I believe, Mr. Commissioner, you said something about Mr. Green not getting any profit out of this. And this man says, no, that ain't the deal. He says that he gave his brother or somebody, the money, which was distributed to Mr. Green's employees for doing his harvest. So, I don't know who to believe. And I don't think that they're really any real remorse here before us. And so I think we're going to have, at least as far as I'm concerned, is go with the staff recommendation here. I mean, you know, we've got, after every one of these meetings, we're scrutinized by the fishermen and watermen who follow the rules. And I hear it over and over again, you guys are too light. What's wrong with you? And we got a few bad apples here, and you guys are letting them go. And so, that's why I would support the staff recommendation.
Other thoughts on the commission? Mr. Erskine.
And I appreciate and agree with those comments. I think this is a situation where there are a lot of moving parts, and we're hearing a lot of different things. Previously, Mr. Green, he was piloting the vessel. He's responsible for what takes place on his vessel. And that's the way we've been consistent at the commission before. I do think we need to send a message, and I think we got bad actors out there that obviously are impacting the people that are doing the right thing, harvesting properly. I would be inclined, based on the testimony and past record and his compliance with the officer at the time, to maybe support a 1-year revocation as opposed to a 2-year revocation in this case.
Commission operates on motions.
And I put that in the form of a motion.
It's a motion for a 1-year revocation for Mr. West. Are you including revocation of his licenses and his title fishing privileges, Mr. Erskine?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Ballard. Is there a discussion? Mr. Tankard.
Well, one thing I think we ought to remind ourselves is that we had to pull back the oyster season for a lot of people this year. We've got too many people in the oyster catching business right now. I think in some ways this is the people who don't play by the rules, they're kind of an opportunity for us to increase the productivity of our people who do play by the rules. So that's why I won't support the motion.
Other discussion? There's a motion and a second for 1 year revocation of Mr. West's licenses and title fishing privileges. I'm going to call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes?
No.
No by Mr. Zedrin and Mr. Tankard. And the chair votes aye as well. So the motion passes 5-2. Mr. West, your licenses are revoked for 1 year, and your title fishing privileges are revoked for 1 year, effective today. If you go with the deputy chief, he'll take you downstairs and give you a letter to explain what your appeal rights are. Good luck, Mr. West. Mr. Smito. Is Mr. Timmy Lee Jenkins in the room? Mr. Jenkins, please come forward. Please raise your right hand. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, sir.
Please state your name for the record.
Timmy Lee Jenkins.
Thank you, Mr. Jenkins. Officer West.
Yes, sir. During my question of Timmy Lee Jenkins on the events of January 7th and 8th regarding his involvement in harvesting oceans on the 7th and the 8th, I received the same story that Calvin West had given me. They were interviewed at the same location, but separately. Mr. Jenkins placed most of the blame on Mr. Green on why he harvested 24 bushels on January 7th. I asked Mr. Jenkins if Jennifer Green was supposed to be on the boat with him on January 7th. He said yes. She was supposed to be on the boat that day. I then asked Mr. Jenkins if she was on the boat. He said no. She was not on the boat on January 7th. I then questioned Mr. Jenkins if he knew that Mrs. Green did not have a current commercial waterman's card, and he replied no, he did not know. After confirming that he knew Mrs. Green was supposed to be on the boat that day, I then asked him, why would you harvest 24 bushels of oysters if you were only allowed to harvest 16 bushels legally? He stated Calvin and Michael had it covered. Once Mr. Jenkins confirmed that Mrs. Green was supposed to be on the boat, and then further confirming that she was not on the boat, I began to question about his hand scrape license. I asked Mr. Jenkins if he had a current hand scrape license to harvest oysters on January 7th, and he stated yes. Yes, he did. At that point, I told Mr. Jenkins that our licensing records showed that he did not purchase a hand scrape license until January the 8th. Once I told Mr. Jenkins that he did not have a hand scrape license for 2015, he was in violation of harvesting illegally. At this point, Mr. Jenkins called me a liar and said that he did have a hand scrape license. After interviewing Mr. Jenkins, I asked him, did Michael take any money for the sale of the oysters? I only asked Mr. Jenkins this question because Mr. Jenkins had accepted the check from Crabs Express on the day of January 7th. He stated no, Michael did not, and we know the story about that. Mr. Jenkins has a very lengthy history with the Marine Resource Commission. He has multiple convictions involving oysters. And on a later date, when Mr. Jenkins was served with his summons, he had made some comments in the office when he was served some paperwork.
What kind of comments?
That I could not take his license in any way, and he would like to see us try and catch him, and he would work without a license.
You got to do. I ain't gonna let my kids start. Somebody take my license.
Mr. Jenkins, calm down a minute. The commission may have some questions of Officer West, and then I'll give you a chance to tell your side of the story. So 1 second. Does the commission have any questions of Officer West? Seeing none. Mr. Jenkins, please approach the microphone. What
well,
do you want?
It really upset me when he told me about my license. I didn't have my license that day, which I did have my license that day, but I had the wrong dates on. Mr. Chippy Dyes checked me. He's a BMRC agent, all right? They were going to lock me up for a gill net that somebody stole. They already had handcuffs, had pistols drawn, all that. This is going to go with this. And anyway.
This case, please.
I know, but this is going to this case. Well, I gave him my license. He went and checked my buoy. My net was all right. Everything was fine. There was a computer glitch that said that I had the same numbers that he did. And I tried to go back and get stuff to show him about my license. But Mr. King's Marine, evidently, he doesn't sell them anymore. He gave them that, y'all. He cussed y'all out or something. I don't know what happened. But he doesn't have them anymore, and I couldn't go get no proof. That was it about the license. I couldn't get any proof. And I was already on probation. for 2 years. I was getting ready to get off. Why should I jeopardize my life for $50? $50 for a drudge license. And he lied to me. He didn't say nothing about the fourth and the fifth day that I went on that boat with Michael Green to help his daddy that was so cold he couldn't even move. I helped him catch their limit so they would take me and Calvin out to catch our limit because the whole river was froze up. And he sat there and lied to y'all like a dog right in front of everybody. And he lied to the court. And I couldn't do nothing about it because I didn't have any proof on it. The only proof we had is a telephone in the car. I got it outside right now. That suspends all this.
Mr. Jenkins, I'm trying to be helpful here when I say you're not really helping yourself.
I know, but this has been bothering me for 6 months now. All they talk about is, oh, you're going to take your license. You're going to take your license. I'm going to be out there in the morning. Y'all lock me up because I want to be locked up.
Why
should I stay at home and watch my young and starve to death? I'd rather be locked up. I don't want to look at them. I don't even want to look at them. I got a handicapped child at home. I don't want to look at my kid. Oh, I can't go to work because he took my license because of Michael Green. That's all I have to say. Take him if you want. I was on 2 years probation and I didn't do nothing wrong. I even hired my brother, Ray Hunter, to cut my horses so I wouldn't get a ticket. I only ran with him because the river was froze up. We hadn't worked in over a week and a half, man. That's the only reason I went with him.
Okay, Mr. Jenkins, sir, anything else you want the commission to know about the events of January 7th of 2015?
I don't have anything else to say, sir. I'm telling you all I know. What I told you was the God honest truth. Why would I jeopardize my life for $50? I could have went and got $50 off my uncle if I needed money. I can get $1,000 off him if I need it. As long as I pay him back.
Are there any questions to Mr. Jenkins from the commission? Thank you, Mr. Jenkins. Mr. Cimino. What is the staff recommendation in this case?
I'll read this out. The commission's guidelines for sanctions specify one, conviction of harvesting greater than 50% over the limit of shellfish within a 12-month period should result in at least 1 year probation. However, given the severity of the situation and the number of convictions, staff is recommending a 2-year revocation. In accordance with 28.2-232 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends the commission revoke all Mr. Jenkins' licenses to take or catch fish, shellfish, or marine organisms for a period of 2 years from the date of this commission meeting, January 26, 2016, through January 25, 2018. Staff also recommends the commission prohibit the issuance, reissuance, or renewal of any of Mr. Jenkins' licenses during this revocation period. Staff recommends the commission revoke Mr. Jenkins' fishing privileges within the Commonwealth's tidal waters for a period of 2 years from the date of this commission meeting, January 26, 2016, through January 25, 2018.
Mr. Jenkins, the staff recommendation to the commission is that your licenses be revoked for 2 years effective today and your tidal fishing privileges be revoked effective today for 2 years. I'm going to give you a chance to briefly say what you want to say to the commission.
Caught it right here in the line. You was asking questions. You was asking questions about that card. He sat right there and told us. I listened to him. I don't know if it was his wife and I. But Calvin's brother was in the cabin the morning I helped him on the 6th. He called him on the 6th, the BMRC, and somebody answered the phone and told him he could take us out. I would have never went. I was already on probation. I'm going to lose my license over 8 bushels of horse. I got a better sense than that. 8 bushels?
Thank you for your input, Mr. Jenkins. Matters before the commission for discussion and action.
I'm seeing these convictions from 2009, 2012, 2013.
I'm trying to do better.
So I'm not seeing any new improvements. We're back here, conviction 2015. So I would flat move to accept staff recommendation.
Motion by Mr. Neal to accept staff recommendation for revocation period of 2 years for licenses and tidal fishing privileges. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Tankard. Is there discussion? I'll call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well. Mr. Jenkins, your licenses are revoked effective today. Your tidal fishing privileges are revoked as well for 2 years. I just want to give you kind of a word of warning. You had mentioned earlier here, or at least I heard.
Lock me up tomorrow. That might be it, buddy, babe.
Hold on, Mr. Jenkins, I'm trying to help you here.
Nobody's going to be on the boat with me.
What I'm saying here is that if you're out in violation of this revocation order, the state law allows on conviction for the commission to revoke your licenses for 5 years and institute a civil penalty of up to $10,000. That's what
I want them to give me 25 years at life. That's what I want.
All right, Mr. Jenkins, if you'll proceed with the officers, they'll give you a letter that explains your appeal rights. Get Wayne, please. Get Wayne. Wayne France.
You probably got to eat all the rest of the lemon cake back there.
Mr. Smino.
Yes, sir.
Who's next?
Mr. Vernon L. Ward, a commercial fisherman registration licensee, had a conviction on August 26th.
1 second, please. Yes, is Mr. Vernon Ward in the room? Mr. Ward, please come forward. Please raise your right hand. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Officer Morris as well. You are sworn in as well. All right, Mr. Smino here, please.
Yes, sir. Mr. Ward is currently on probation from September 25th, 2015 through September 21st, 2016 for possession of uncalled oysters.
Right. Officer Morris.
Good afternoon. I'm Officer Mike Morris, Senior Officer Mike Morris with Virginia Marine Police. In this instance, I was performing my duties in the James River, not specifically in this case, but I had received information on 712, 714, and 715 from sources in the Waterman area, as well as from staff with VMRC, that they had seen boats working in the James River in the area known as White High Shoals, in an area that was not private oyster ground. I was watching that area on those dates, and on the date that I did find two boats working in that area. While on patrol on the 17th near High Shoals, I found two commercial dredge boats, one of them being the Emily Sue, who is owned and captained by Mr. Vernon Ward, to my right. I went to both boats and entered their circle of their dredging and took a reading with my GPS on my boat, and then recognized Mr. Ward on the Emily Sue and the other captain on the other boat. As I was taking those readings, I then left the area and went to another call that I had to plant polluted oysters. That was where I was en route to when I came upon these two vessels. While I was en route to the other call, I called in the GPS readings to staff's engineers, who told me that the Emily Sue was 1,098 feet into the public from where he was supposed to be on private ground. It was known to me that Captain Ward and the Emily Sue was supposed to be working for Mr. Burton on his private ground, and Mr. Ward had actually called me a few days before this incident when he was in North Carolina on vacation to see if I could get him a permit to work Mr. Burton's ground, which I did agree to get with him and get before he started working the ground. I took the information for what it was worth at the time and continued to watch the area to see if I'd see any further violations. I also did partake of a very timely process, a time-consuming process, of going with a direct indictment on this individual as well as another, going before the grand jury and producing my evidence, and then them taking it directly to circuit court after that, because I had charged each of the individuals, including Mr. Ward, with two felonies and one class one misdemeanor for the violations that occurred. After going through due process of court, Mr. Vernon Ward's attorney worked out a plea agreement. They started with a plea agreement, but then Mr. Ward actually fired his attorney. They threw an agreement with the court and Mr. Ward and Mr. Ward's attorney that we came up with a plea agreement for him pleading guilty to taking oysters out of season, which is a class one misdemeanor, and he received a penalty for that. Which was 90 days of incarceration with 90 days suspension of that incarceration for a year's good behavior, starting on the date that it was adjudicated of 8/26 of 2015. I would point out this case started on July 17th of 2014, so it was a time-consuming investigation on that and going to court. Mr. Ward has never been out of the way in his dealings with me. He's been very upfront, and I've had no problems with him verbally or in any other manner. And that would be my presentation of this particular case.
The questions of Officer Morris. Mr. Zeter.
Can you recall what the weather was like that day?
It was a little bit of wind. And James River is affected by a north-south wind, pretty much. And they were in the center of the river, basically, just below the James River Bridge, adjacent to, but on the other side of the commercial channel from the shipyard. There was nothing to be stated as far as sea state. It was relatively flat. The wind was blowing, but it wasn't blowing enough to take somebody 1,000 feet out of a marked area. I did not go by the marks on the ground. My focus was seeing the boats work, getting to the center of the dredge circle, getting a reading over top of where the dredge would ultimately be, and then calling those coordinates in while I was in the process of going to plant polluted oysters.
Okay, thank you.
And both individuals, especially one of them being Mr. Ward, looked at me, and I waved to him as I proceeded away from the situation, and he kind of went, "What's up?" And I waved again, and then I proceeded to go downriver.
Mr. Erskine.
Officer Morris, this summons says, I think, August 26th was the date that this incident took place. It says, I think that's 9:30 a.m. Is that right?
That's the conviction date. Yeah.
So what date did this take place?
It's 7/17 of 2014.
Okay, and the time of day?
It was... I don't recollect right off the bat, but because I gave that information and it went to the direct indictment. We don't have copies of that particular thing, but it was in the morning hours. It was before noon. I would say probably around 11:15.
As a follow-up?
Mr. Erskine.
Do you know if this was taking oysters out of season, that piece of public ground that he was inside is condemned?
No, it was not condemned.
Okay.
It was closed. The public season didn't open up until, I believe it was September.
And another follow-up. I would note that on private ground, for which he had a dredge permit, I understand, you know, if you were taking oysters before noon, you would have to be in by 10 a.m. in the middle of July because of the warm weather regulations.
Hold on, Mr. Ward. He's asking the officer a question.
So is that dealt with in a different manner? Does he have provisions for that?
He would have been in compliance because he would have had the ice and to be able to keep them layered for the catch. In fact, I did not go back and try and research the catch because I did not want to tip my hand that I was watching that area for the direct indictment and for further investigation. But Mr. Ward knew about the icing provisions, and he would have been in compliance with that before he went out, and never had him have an issue with icing or with refrigeration or having them into the refrigerated truck or the market before after the time allotted.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions from the commission for Officer Morris? Thank you, Mike. Mr. Ward, now's your time. Good. What do you want to tell the commission?
Well, this is the way it, this is the way that it went. I worked for J.C. Button, and he got this piece of ground where Mr. Morris was telling you. So I was in Carolina, and that's it. So he called me on the phone and said, come back tomorrow, I think it was. Yeah, and he said, the ground is all stuck up. I got your paperwork, and go to work. So that's what I did. When Mr. Morris came along, I was right in the middle of the square where I was supposed to be. Is that correct?
I don't know.
Yes, it's correct. And y'all's state surveyor is the one that stuck it up. So if the buoys was wrong, I mean, that's not for me. I don't know that. I wasn't outside the square. I've been on probation for uncalled oysters. I have not done one single thing wrong since then because I don't want to lose my life. Actually, I've been just getting big oysters to avoid any trouble with my life. And in court, the deal was they told us if we pleaded guilty to this taking oysters out of season, it would not affect our licenses whatsoever. That was the deal we was told. That's the only reason that I signed.
Who told you that, Mr. Ward?
The lawyer.
Whose lawyer?
My lawyer. There were three lawyers involved. And the judge didn't even put a fine. He didn't even give us a fine on it. All we had to do was pay the court call.
True. I don't know what your lawyers told you. You did plead guilty.
Yeah.
That brings you here.
Well, that wasn't what I was told.
Well, then you must have been provided incorrect legal advice. Mr. Zeedman.
I'm interested in this location you're talking about. You know, you heard the officer testify that that you were like 1,000-plus feet from where you were supposed to be. Now, are you telling us that somebody staked out where you were going to be?
Yes,
right?
Sir. You're the state surveyor.
All right. And what was it? We got the white PCV pipe?
Yes, sir.
And you, your contention is that you were in the middle of that square, as you call it, even though it was 1,000 feet from where you were supposed to be.
So
That tells me that the ground was stuck up wrong.
Why didn't you bring that up as your defense of your case in court?
I think he did.
But you pled guilty.
Just to make it easier. Because they told us, the lawyer said it would not affect our license whatsoever. Had I would have known that, I would have went ahead with the case, and I probably would have gotten out of it.
Officer,
I have a question for the officer.
Yeah, please. Officer Morris.
Now, did this issue come up about if the square, we're going to call it, was improperly staked?
It did not come up in court or in conversation, but I believe that the board may be under a misconception. This is not waterway that they can stake PVC or natural wood stakes in the bottom. It's too deep. So they are using floating buoys. They're spar buoys made out of PVC, probably about 3 inches in diameter, with a cap on both ends and a line and an anchor going down to the bottom. The buoys, I'm prepared in court to answer any of that issue because I'm a waterman stating, well, the buoys must have floated off or were drug off a position, and that's why we were working inside the buoys. I watched the outer edge, the one closest to the deep water. I've watched that up through today, and that buoy is still in place nearest the James River Bridge, where the toughest tides are, where ice has come through and attacked. It did not pull that off station. So if the buoys, that as they were put down under the auspices of the engineers that went out there and said, okay, put the buoy here, if they were moved, it was not nature, and it was not an act of nature or an act of God. Somebody must have moved them, dragged them off station.
Well, following up on that, I mean, he's saying that he was within the squares of those buoys. Did you see him within the squares of the buoys?
I did. As I said in my testimony, I did not concentrate on any markings on the ground. What I did was I went to where the boats were working, took the GPS readings, and then moved off to go to another call that I had, and then back-checked the coordinates. And look, by the way, my GPS was checked before and after to make sure it was accurate. And it came up that Mr. Ward's vessel was over 1,000 feet, I believe it was 1,098 feet, into the public, which would have been into 1,000 feet away from where the true line was supposed to be on that inner line, because High Shoals runs inshore to the west of the private oyster ground that Mr. Burton has.
Mr. Fritz.
Yeah, I'm a question to Mr. Ward. I see here you have a hand scrape license.
Yes, yes.
Where do you predominantly work during the public hand scrape season?
James River.
James River?
Yeah.
You work that James River hand scrape area?
Yeah.
Have you worked White Shoals or High Shoals before?
No, I worked it one time last summer and got in trouble.
All right. Okay. That's all I have.
Other questions from the commission? I have a question, Mr. Ward.
Yes, sir.
It's not the first time you've been here.
That's why when I was here last time, I've been doing everything that I...
And I know that this offense date predates your current... This offense predates, came before any of the troubles that brought you up here, but... Wanted to ask you about convictions in 2014 about harvesting oysters in a sanctuary, 2009 possession of unculled oysters, last year possession of unculled oysters. What's going on?
Well, see, all I did was wrong when I said the other guy told me I learned, but I did it to the truth. Since I've been put on probation, I've been doing exactly what I'm supposed to do.
Well, the probation only came last September here, so not that long ago. All right. there anything else you want to tell the commission? Any other questions from the commission? Mr. Cimino. What is the staff recommendation?
Well, the commission's guidelines for sanctions specify that one conviction of harvesting oysters during a closed public season within a 12-month period should result in at least a one-year revocation. However, given Mr. Ward's continued disregard for natural resources of the Commonwealth of Virginia, staff is recommending a two-year revocation. In accordance with 28.2-232 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends the commission revoke all Mr. Ward's licenses to take or catch fish, shellfish, or marine organisms for a period of 2 years from the date of this commission meeting, January 26, 2016, through January 25, 2018. Staff also recommends the commission prohibit the issuance, reissuance, and renewal of any of Mr. Ward's licenses during this revocation period. Staff recommends the commission revoke Mr. Ward's fishing privileges within the Commonwealth's tidal waters for a period of 2 years from the date of this meeting, January 26, 2016, through January 25, 2018.
Thank you, Mr. Cimino. Matters before the commission for discussion and action.
This one's just a little bit odd in that, typically we have someone on probation. They come in here with another offense. We tend to be very harsh. This is something that happened before he was put on probation. So that makes it a little bit different for me as far as. So it's not something he did after he was on probation.
Yeah, I'm not considering this a probation violation.
Yeah.
Not in my head. The question in my hand is the egregiousness of the offense from that particular day. And the probation end of things here at this point, in my mind here, doesn't matter because this event happened before the probationary events. Mr. Zedra.
Make an observation from the district court here. It's highly unusual for them to give no fine. And that's what it is. It's no fine, 90 days jail, suspended on good behavior for 1 year. And he got, I don't know why the court cost was so much, but it was $266 of court costs. But that tells me that the judge it didn't aggravate him. The facts did not aggravate the judge. And
Mr. Ward, hold on a second, please. The commission's discussing the matter here. This isn't a back and forth.
The deal is that when you're in court representing somebody, if your client can walk out of that court, you're going to go for a deal, okay? Even if you don't think or you think he can beat it, your client going to beat it, the lawyer's going to say, hey, I'm walking out that door after this case is decided, do you want to come with me? And the answer is, yeah, so you better do what I tell you. And so that's what happens with these people. It concerns me, if the officer would have told me, I looked around, didn't see any markers, and this guy was way out there where he shouldn't have been, I had no problem just, following staff recommendation. But the fact is that the officer truthfully said, I didn't look at anything on the ground. I can't tell you whether the guy's lying or not. And then going on his side a little bit, he calls the officer the day before and says, look, I'm working for this guy, whatever his name was, and I need that piece marked out there. And can you help me get it done? And that's what happens. You shake your head, that ain't what happened.
No, sir, he called me about a permit to work the ground, and I provided that permit. The marking of the ground never came up.
Okay. His testimony is the ground was marked, and he had some kind of white markers out there, and then he was running around inside the white markers over there, and so he thought he was legal. But, if the guy was going to illegally take oyster from public ground, it's inconsistent with the fact that he calls the officer and says, well, help me get a permit so I can do this legally. Because if he was going to steal the oysters anyway, why would he call the officer to even do anything with that permit? And so, you know, as the co-commissioner said here, I think there's a little different twist on this case a little bit. And I think that he tried to do the right thing. I understand what happened in court. Like I said, the court didn't think much of it. That's why I gave him no fine. That's real unusual. Low fines, okay, but no fine is very unusual. And so, you know, maybe he's telling the truth. And like Commissioner Neal said here, the offense that happened later happened before he was on probation. So, and what was his demeanor?
That day, like I said, he waved back to me and did this, like, what's up? And I waved again and kept on going.
Okay.
Because of the complaints that I had received, I wanted to keep it low-key and not approach at that point. And that was another reason I wasn't looking for buoys, because one of my informants said that they had been pulled out of the place. And so I was just concentrating on where they were located. I don't know if Mr. Ward or the other gentlemen have a GPS on their boat. I believe they do, but if I were a waterman working a specific area, I would have that ground marked out on my GPS so I could prove beyond a shadow of a doubt I was only working in that proper area. And we did not go back and check that because of the direct indictment and the time consumption for that. But and then I wanted to see if there was going to be any further violations in that area, which I never saw that boat or the other defendant's boat in that area after that.
Mr. Tacker.
I have a question for Officer Morris. Was the complaint that you received on Mr. Ward's boat, or was it
nebulous? It was a nebulous complaint that I'm seeing, or the people complaining said, we're seeing boats that seem to be outside of the private ground on public ground, and one of them was from staff who would know what was private and what was public, and so that was why we were doing follow-up investigations on that.
Mr. Fritz.
Yeah, you know, Mr. Ward here, he works public and private ground on the James River. He works the hand scrape area. And I know I have to drive 100 miles. And when I come down here, I know what's public and what's private. I make it my point to know. I don't know about the buoys or the markings. But I know if I was working public ground and I got 1,000 feet into private ground, something would be going on. That's all I have.
Mr. Erskine.
You know, in order to catch oysters on private ground, we have to get a dredge permit, and that's pretty clear. I'm not suggesting that this is the case, Mr. Ward, but there are times, especially in this area, where someone may get, you know, a permit to be on private ground with not the intent of working that private ground, but go somewhere else, and that may be adjacent. And you testified that you have been in the James River. That's where you work. And I imagine you've been captain of this boat for a number of years. So it is kind of hard to believe that you would be off by 1,000 feet, regardless of what was marked and or what was buoyed. I would imagine as captain of the boat, you are responsible for being on that private ground that you hold the dredge permit for, Mr. Burton does. So I understand the fine, you know, is $0. But I do have a concern over the fact that there is a past history here, and you are 1,000 feet off of where you should be, having known the air, worked there a number of years, and captain of the boat.
I've never worked where this piece of ground was.
Your familiarity with the James River.
If I was 1,000 feet off, the ground was stuck up 1,000 feet. I was right in the middle of where I was supposed to be, and I have that on my GPS.
But as the captain of the boat, aren't you responsible for the boat? Yes, sir.
The boat wasn't 1,000 feet. The boat was in the side of the square where it was supposed to be.
But you're responsible for where the boat is and where it harvests, says. Okay. Thank you.
Let me chime in just for a second here and see if I have the timeline correct. March of 2014, Mr. Ward was convicted of harvesting oysters in an oyster sanctuary. 5 months later, 4 months later, there was this offense, July of 14. And then 7 or 8 months after that, here is possession of uncalled oysters, which led him to here last September for probation for 2 years. So, Mr. Ward, I guess my question is this. If getting caught in the sanctuary isn't a wake-up call, if it was a wake-up call, that would have precluded this, I would think. What's been going on over the last year and a half with you and oysters here that keeps getting you in the court?
Since I've been put on probation, I'm doing everything straight by the book. That's all. I wasn't working in the sanctuary. It was a buffer line, and we were sitting there. We was not working. But I lost my life for about 6 months. And the officer said if we had it to go all over with, we would have did it differently.
I don't know about that. Any other questions from the commission? Mr. Smino, did you give the... recommendation? All right. Well, the matter is before the commission. He was here at the testimony, seeing the evidence, the staff recommendation. What's the commission's pleasure? Mr. Ballard.
I move to accept staff recommendation.
Motion by Mr. Ballard. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Tankard. Is there a discussion on the motion? I'll call the question. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes?
I said no.
No by Mr. Neal. Chair votes aye as well. The motion passes 7-1. Mr. Ward, effective today, your licenses are revoked for 2 years. Your title fishing privileges are revoked for 2 years as well. If you go with the op...
What do you suppose I'm supposed to do?
That's up to you.
What do you do if you lost your job?
That's up to you. If you will go with the officer, he'll take you downstairs and he'll give you a letter that explains your appeal rights.
I'm not going nowhere.
Mr. Smino, next?
Yes, sir. Next case is Mr. David N. Owens. A conviction on August 26, 2015, for one count of taking oysters out of season.
Let me make sure Mr. David N. Owens is in the room. Please come forward, Mr. Owens. Please raise your right hand. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Please state your name for the record. Officer Morris.
Yes, sir. This ostensibly is going to be the same testimony as the last one. Because Mr. Owens was the captain of the Maryland. Coincidentally, the Maryland is the boat owned by J.C. Burton. He was working the boat for Mr. Burton, supposedly on Mr. Burton's ground. On that same date, 7/17/14, I had an occasion to be coming down river, and in the investigation of the complaints that I had received, I saw two boats in the general vicinity of the private ground and the High Shoals public rock. And I went to the circle, the center of the circle of each dredge boat, and I identified the captain of the boat. In each case, there was a helper on the boat. I didn't bother to try and recognize them. I just recognized Mr. Owens as the captain on the Maryland, and proceeded to take the readings of the GPS, waved to him, got an acknowledgement from him, and then moved on. We made contact, and then I moved on to my other
duty for that morning. And there again, through the direct indictment, this occurred in July of 2014. It took us until August 26th of 2015, over a year, to come to final court and finalization. And as a plea agreement, he also accepted and entered a plea of guilty for taking oysters out of season. And in lieu of the two felonies, theft of oysters and grand larceny, and the class one misdemeanor, he took the class one misdemeanor of a different offense, which was taking oysters out of season. Mr. Owens has been very forthcoming. I've not had problems with him in the past. I will mention that I don't know what shows up in his history, but Mr. Owens, as well as Mr. Ward, were also involved in something. I'm going to say it was probably 2012 up in the James River, where they were working for another individual that had told them that he had already leased the ground, but it was technically unassigned ground, and they were convicted of working in that area. And both Mr. Ward and Mr. Owens were involved in that case also. Again, Mr. Owens has not been out of the way in his dealings with me. He's been upfront and not been abusive verbally or any other way with me.
Other questions of Officer Morris from the commission? Seeing none, Mr. Owens, here's the chance. What would you like to tell us?
Well, like Mr. Morris said, I was working the man's boat that owned the head ground, owned the ground. He had gone down there and put the line stakes in for the ground and told me everything was straight, got the permit, and told me to go to work. I was working his boat. I had been working his boat all year. I had been working another piece of his ground. I didn't have any trouble. Mr. Morris had seen me there the whole time. So he told me I was working for him, so he told me to go down and work his ground, and he had just applied for this ground and just got it. So that's what I did.
So why did you plead guilty?
Well, like I say, it was a plea agreement. You know, everybody else was doing it, so I figured I was in there with them. So, but I don't think I shouldn't have pled guilty. I mean, if we were inside the buoys, just like Mr. Ward said. The buoys were inside of us, the buoys were outside of us. I mean, he went down there and had the ground stuck up. Only thing I can go on is with Rob Butler. He was the one that stuck it up. Like I say, I was working for him. It wasn't my boat, you know.
Questions from the commission? Mr. Erskine.
You say that the owner of the boat is also the owner of the oyster ground.
Yes, sir.
And he indicated that he had it marked.
Yes, sir.
Did you discuss with him not only this incident, but the fact that you'd be appearing before the commission today? And if, in fact, that was his ground that he had stuck and marked properly, that he would come down and, in your defense, say, I marked the ground?
No, sir. He buys oysters for Mr. Bevin. So, sometimes he's down Deep Creek, sometimes he's other places.
But he didn't indicate, as you all discussed, follow-up question.
Mr. Erson.
As you all discussed this situation for you and the possibility that you may be looking at a revocation of your license, and that is very severe, that he would come down since he marked the ground and say,
no, I didn't discuss that with him.
Okay.
Because, you know, going on somebody's word and the buoy is sitting there, you know, that it stuck upright and I was inside the buoys. I could see if I was outside the buoys, but I was inside the buoys. And his GPS, like Mr. Morris says, he does have a GPS on there. I don't know if he still has the same one on there, but where the buoys were was marked on his GPS. So, I mean, that's what I was going by. I mean, if I thought I was in the wrong, most people run if they're in the wrong, if they're not in the right place. Like Mr. Morris said, I kept working. I waved to him and I kept working. I didn't think I was doing anything wrong because I was inside the buoys.
Mr. Ziefer?
Did you go back later and take a picture of these buoys or anything?
No, sir. They were still there. Like Mr. Morris said, we stopped that day. We didn't go back to that piece of ground.
What about your GPS when the case came up in district court? You had a lawyer too, right?
Yes, sir.
Did you check?
It was his boat, so I didn't. You know, I can't take anything off of somebody else's boat. I was working for him. It wasn't my boat.
This guy's name is Burton?
Yes, sir.
Well, did you tell him that you were charged with this offense?
He knew.
And he didn't help you?
No, sir.
Mr. Fritz.
Yeah, I have a question for Officer Morris. When you went by and took your GPS reading,
yes, sir.
Did you know then that they were not where they were supposed to be?
Not for positive, no, sir. That's why I took the readings and didn't hang around. If I knew that they were in violation at the moment, I would have been remiss in leaving the area and not stopping and taking care of the violation right then. All I did was take the GPS readings. I wasn't looking for buoys. I did not know. I suspected because of the high-ranking people that gave me the information that they may have been in the wrong, but I didn't have it on my GPS to know what those coordinates were. That's why I called in to the professionals to have them plot those locations. And if I might say something a little bit further, my understanding was Mr. Burton called for your court case?
Not by you.
And but then once we ended up with a plea agreement, he did not have to. But my information that I received from Mr. Burton was that Mr. Owens was part and parcel with marking that ground with Mr. Rob Butler, and I should have known where the floating buoys were.
Yes, I was, and where the buoys were are exactly where Mr. Butler told me to put them. But I didn't put them. I drove the boat. It was four more people on the boat with us. I didn't touch the buoys. I just drove the boat. When he said threw it, the other gentleman threw the buoys overboard. And then you had to wait 30 days after the buoys were put overboard for you to be able to go work it from the VMRC. Rob Butler said everything was straight, said go to work. So that's what he told Mr. Burton, so that's what I did. He told me take the boat, go to work, because I had been working the boat the whole year. I haven't had a ticket since this one of any kind.
Mr. Owens, I'm still stuck on the fact that despite your protestations at the moment here that the buoys were set by somebody else and marked, and it was Mr. Burton's boat and his GPS, you still pleaded guilty. And I'm not sure why, if you're supposedly innocent.
Well, that's what my lawyer told me to do. That's when you hire a lawyer, if you do what, you know, you do what he says to do. He worked at a plea deal with Mr. Morris or whoever. He said he had a conversation with Mr. Morris and said he worked at a plea deal, and all the other lawyers were there too.
Any other questions from the commission? Mr. Smino.
Commission's guidelines for sanctions specify that one conviction of harvesting oysters during a closed public season within a 12-month period should result in at least a one-year revocation. In accordance with 28.2-232 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends the Commission revoke all Mr. Owens' licenses to take or catch fish, shellfish, or marine organisms for a period of 1 year from the date of this Commission meeting, January 26, 2016, through January 25, 2017. Staff also recommends the Commission prohibit the issuance, reissuance, and renewal of any of Mr. Owens' licenses during the revocation period. Staff recommends the Commission revoke Mr. Owens' fishing privileges within the Commonwealth's tidal waters for a period of 1 year from the date of this meeting, January 26, 2016, through January 25, 2017.
Heard the staff recommendation and the testimony. Matters before the Commission. What's the will? Mr. Ballard.
I move to accept staff recommendation.
It's a motion by Mr. Ballard here to accept staff recommendation of 1 year revocation period for licenses and tidal fishing privileges for Mr. Owens. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Tankard. Is there any discussion on the motion? I'll call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well. The motion passes unanimously. Mr. Owens, your licenses and your title fishing privileges are revoked for a year. If you'll go with the deputy chief, he will give you a letter that explains your appeal rights. Mr. Smito, is one more?
One more, sir.
Mr. Rocky Ray?
Mr. Rocky Ray.
You, Mr. Rocky Ray? Please raise your right hand. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, sir.
Please state your name for the record.
Rocky Ray.
Thank you, Mr. Ray. Officer Morris.
Yes, sir. This is going to be a little bit different presentation because Mr. Ray was a worker on the boat owned and operated by Mr. West. Mr. West is not before the commission at this time. Mr. Ray was on board and was charged with the same charges, one felony and four misdemeanors, on the date of occurrence, which was August 14th of 2014. He was charged with the same felony as well as four misdemeanors. But because he was offered a plea agreement and because of his being a crewman on the boat rather than being the operator of the boat and the owner of the boat, he was offered to plead guilty to failure to properly maintain a layer of ice on the oysters. It's one of our warm water health provisions, and he did plead guilty to that in court and got a $250 fine for that in Isle of Wight court, Isle of Wight Circuit Court for that. This was also worked as a direct indictment, so that would explain why the violation date of August 14th, 2014, and the conviction date of August 26th of 2015 is the reason for the time lapse. And again, I will say that Mr. Ray was a crewman on the boat. I had no issues with him physically or verbally at the time or since then. He was up front with me, and I did serve him with the warrants, and we went through the process. And he did plead guilty to failure to maintain a layer of ice on the oysters.
Questions for the commission of Officer Morris? I don't see it. Oh, wait, Mr. Prince.
Officer Morris, did he have any ice on the boat at all?
Yes, sir. There was ice on the boat. There was ice on some of the oysters. Well, I should say, some of the oysters were on ice in a separate container. The box that we checked on that day, and they were checked as they were. I called in boats because I was operating from shore, and what I was observing was from shore. We had a boat come in from downriver and upriver, and they escorted the West boat. That's not owned by Mr. West. That's another issue. But Mr. West took the boat with the escort back from Day's Point, which is on the west side of the river, across to the Menchville area, where I met the boat as well as all the officers that escorted him there. And we proceeded to go through the oysters. Actually, I was just back on duty from something physical that had happened to me, and we were telling them that we needed them to shovel the oysters into tubs and to go ahead and we would count how many that there were to determine whether it was a class one misdemeanor or a felony or whatever we were dealing with.
They refused. Well, I should say Mr. West refused. And so they stood back and watched as I and the other officer shoveled up these bushels of oysters and put them in tubs. And then after we counted out how many were on board, we returned them to the boat so that it would facilitate them taking them out to the sanctuary and planting them on the sanctuary. The question was raised, not by Mr. Ray, but by the captain, did they have to do that? And we said, well, that's another violation. If you want that, then refuse to do that also. But they subsequently did take them out and plant them on the sanctuary. But I'm sorry, I got a field of what you were asking, but they did end up being found directly from the get-go. They were found that there was not enough layer of ice, because in the box that is set aside and approved by the health department, it has to maintain a certain temperature if you're using ice, and a continuous layering of ice means that you put a layer of oysters and a layer of ice and a layer of oysters and a layer of ice, and you generally keep that box closed until you're loading it with the next layer, so it maintains the ice throughout. I took part, direct part, in shoveling those oysters out. When they, as they had been escorted, they did ask if they could put ice on them as they were being escorted across the river, and we said, no, you leave everything as it is. In this separate container, where I believe it was another 5 or 6 bushels were found, that was their ice container. It was a blue cooler, one of the big totes. And those oysters were put on top of the ice, but the ice had not been used in layering in the main compartment. And I saw with my eyes and sampled with my own shovelfuls that there were no ice throughout the pile of oysters in the insulated box.
Thank you. Other questions from the commission? Mr. Erskine.
So you mentioned that the health department has to approve the box or the container that's being used for that.
They have to get a certificate. Yes,
and did they, in fact, have a certificate? And as a follow-up.
Yep, Mr. Erskine.
Would you say that there was enough ice in the other cooler to support layering those oysters that they had, or was it a fact that they didn't have enough ice on the boat, or they didn't use the ice?
I believe they had enough ice and did not use it. They were leaving the area as I had the boats come in and approach them. So they had plenty of time up until then to have iced them down. They didn't see anybody in the area, I presume, so that they didn't feel the need at that point. There was another health issue that was on the boat, too. They were supposed to have a dedicated, call it a slop bucket, on board, and they didn't have to have a sealed container. And it was containing peeler crabs for whatever use they were going to use them for in their excrement container. So there were a couple health issues there that were addressed, but we only had him plead guilty to the one.
Thank you.
Other questions from the commission? Mr. Morris, one quick question here. Where did this happen again?
Day's Point on the public ground. I've forgotten the name or the number of it. It's called Long Reef.
And this was August 14th of 2014?
Yes.
Was the public ground open on August 14th, 2014?
No, sir.
Thank you. Other questions of Officer Morris? Mr. Ray, this is your chance. Tell the commission what you want them to know.
I mean, as far as putting ice on them, when we got done that day, I put ice on them. As the boat approached us, an officer, Lovato, which he had resigned from y'all, that's the first thing he mentioned. He said, y'all got plenty of ice on them. It was 100-degree weather that day. We went from day point from one side of the river. We couldn't go but 10, 12 miles an hour. We had a boat loaded with oysters. We had to come all the way across the river, sit at the dock for an hour. We had to sit at the dock for an hour waiting for Mr. Morris to get down to Mitchville. He was coming from Isle of Wight. So he had to go Isle of Wight all the way to Newport News, had to sit at the dock for an hour in 100-degree weather. No ice is going to last. And yet we had ice in the thing in the cooler out in the back because it had oysters in that. So we needed that ice to cover them oysters, which we had enough ice on here. But when we got to the dock, they had mentioned we couldn't put no ice on them, that we had to wait for Mr. Morris. So we were going to continue to put ice on them, but we couldn't do that because we had to wait for Mr. Morris to get down. So, I mean, we were screwed either way. We had to wait at the dock for 100, in 100-degree weather for an hour. No ice is going to last.
Anything else you want to tell the commission?
No, sir.
Mr. Erskine.
So you're referring to the top of the oyster container. So how would you explain that there was no layer of ice in between the oysters?
Between the oysters, it was. We had a time limit. We had to start putting ice on anything after 9 o'clock, Mr. Moore. Anything after 9 o'clock.
Continually ice oysters.
Continually ice oysters. That's what we did. I mean, we put a layer up to 9 o'clock, and then we put a layer of ice. And then we go to 12 o'clock and put a layer of ice. We continue to put layers of ice on them, but the top layer had melted. 100-degree weather, like I said, sunshine, and then underneath the awning. No ice is going to last.
As a follow-up.
Mr. Erskine.
So you're saying that there was ice layered down below?
Yes,
in those.
All right. Ms. Ray, you should probably have expected this question from me. Why'd you plead guilty?
I pleaded guilty because, like Mr. Erskine said, it was the lawyer's choice. Said you plead guilty to this one, and we dismiss all the others. So, I mean,
right.
I can't go against my lawyer's word.
And the other charges, some of them were felonies, as I recall.
Yes.
Okay. Any other questions from the commission?
I guess I want to just re-ask the officer what you asked him. This was from the public ground during the closed season?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Mr. Smino. What is the staff recommendation?
Staff's recommendation is following the commission's guidelines for sanctions regarding the conviction on the warm water violation. So, in accordance with 28.2-232 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends the commission revoke all of Mr. Ray's licenses to take or catch fish, shellfish, or marine organisms for a period of 1 year from the date of this commission meeting, January 26, 2016, through January 25, 2017. Staff also recommends the commission prohibit the issuance, reissuance, and renewal of any of Mr. Ray's licenses during this revocation period. Staff recommends the commission revoke Mr. Ray's fishing privileges within the Commonwealth's tidal waters for a period of 1 year from the date of this commission meeting, January 26, 2016, through January 25, 2017.
I'm going to give you a chance, Ms. Ray. You heard the staff recommendation here that your licenses be revoked.
Instead of taking a walking job, put me on a year or 2 years, even 2 years probation. I mean, I'll take the probation, but why take them when I got two children and a feed? I get a fiance, I got a feed. I mean, I'll take the probation, but why revoke them?
Because of the severity of the offense.
I mean, I got children and a feed.
Well, Commission, you've heard the testimony, you've heard the defendant, you've heard the staff recommendation. What's the will of the Commission? Mr. Fritz?
I'd make a motion to give Mr. Ray 2 years probation.
It's a motion by Mr. Fritz for 2 years of probation. Is there a second? Sorry, Mr. Fritz, the motion dies for a lack of a second. Mrs. Cullen.
I'd make a motion to accept staff recommendations, but with one modification, and to allow him to keep his fish, eel pot, and gill net licenses, but to revoke all the oyster privileges.
Mr. Ray, hold on a second here. The matter's before the commission. So, Mrs. Cullen, let me understand that. You're motioning here to revoke all Mr. Ray's oyster licenses and fishing privileges as well? I guess I don't understand the intent of your motion.
To revoke his oyster privileges due to the violation, but he has no prior violations as far as fish, eel pots, or gill nets. So I'm making a motion to revoke his oyster privileges only.
You see an issue? I don't either. All right, that's a motion by Mrs. Kellum here, is to revoke not his commercial registration, but his hand scrape license, his hand tongue license, his any oyster license, and to prohibit any issuing of a new license for a year. Well, that's a motion from my Mrs. Kellum. Is there a second?
But did that also include the privileges of working at oyster grounds on someone else's boat, that kind of thing?
I don't think it would.
I didn't plan for it, too. I don't know.
Okay, well, you said oyster privileges, so I wanted to know what
that oyster licenses.
Okay, so it's a motion to revoke all of Mr. Ray's oyster and oyster-related licenses for 1 year. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Ballard.
And with a question. So I couldn't quite hear that. But so is that all? He wouldn't be able to participate in any oyster fishery, public or private, for a period of 1 year? Is that what this motion is accomplishing?
Can we do anything with private ground?
Well, Chief O'Reilly? I'm trying to recall here. The work private grounds, isn't there an aquaculture license and a harvester aquaculture husbandry license?
We call them permits.
Yeah, right.
He could still ostensibly work on private grounds. If someone gets a vessel permit, he could be on that vessel. We have a helper permit, and then we have the aquaculture product owner permit. So, you know, there still could be activity on private ground.
Mrs. Cohn.
Question. So if I change my motion to licenses and or permits, oyster related, would that take care of that?
Well, he wouldn't need a permit to be on a vessel that's licensed for everybody in aquaculture, correct?
So, okay.
He'd be part of the vessel permit and wouldn't have to need that anything for himself.
Does that change your calculus, ma'am? Okay. So we have a motion, we have a second, so it would just be a revocation of all his licenses and permits. Oyster related. Mr. Franz.
A question. If he goes with somebody else, can he be a caller?
Yep.
So he would still be participating in a public fishery.
Mm-hmm. Any further discussion? Mr. Tankard.
Well, I know in some ways this seems like not a big deal, ice on oysters, but August... Public health, I think public health is a big deal. I think that the industry working in the summer months, the warm water months, is a big deal. If we have problems, the industry won't exist any longer in the summer months, the warm water months. I see this as egregious and significant a violation of anyone we've seen to date or today. So I couldn't support the motion. I think a one-year revocation is actually lenient.
Mr. Zebra.
I've got to agree with that, and I understand the officer, there was other health issues as well on this boat. Is that correct?
There was one other health issue. Yeah.
And I think, you know, going back over the year or so, I think, you know, and the defendant testified 100-degree weather. I mean, how many seconds does it take for these oysters to develop bacteria with being exposed to that kind of heat? And the problem is, of course, is that people like you and me go to the restaurant ordering oysters thinking that they're fine and everything. But, you know, that's how we get really sick. So I have to agree with my co-commissioner here is that it don't sound like a lot, but it is when everybody gets sick or dies, and then the whole industry that we've been fighting up here for just dissipates because the rules ain't followed. So I'm going to agree with him. I'm not going to be able to support that.
Is there further discussion, Mr. Ballard?
I'm leaning towards agreeing with Mr. Zitron and Mr. Tankard. I do think Ms. Kellum's motion is interesting, and I have had several people that have come to me and asked and said, when we have oyster violations, why are we losing all our fishing privileges for other species? And I applaud her for coming up with something that we haven't really crossed before, at least during my time here. And I think it's interesting and something we should think about in the future, but I do agree that the severity of this violation is fairly large. And despite having seconded the motion, I will be voting against it.
Mr. Cullen.
I'll rescind my motion. I didn't realize when I made the motion that he would still be allowed to be on board and call in on another vessel.
Okay, then I will, because the seconder here has withdrawn his support as well. Here, the motion's no longer valid, so we're back to square one. Ms. Erskine, did I see your hand up?
Yes, I understand where Mr. France, you know, was on with the motion for probation. These warm weather violations are severe, and we've worked very hard as a commission and as an industry to take seriously these health concerns because it can shut down our industry pretty quickly. In light of that, I understand your testimony was it took the officer an hour or so to get there, and that it was a very warm day, which means not only is the ice melting, but Mr. Tankard and Mr. Zedron are absolutely correct in the fact that that bacteria that could be harmful is multiplying more rapidly than the ice is melting. I would maybe make a motion to offer a 6-month revocation of all licenses and title fishing privileges.
It's pushed by Mr. Erskine for revocation period of 6 months for license and title fishing privileges. Is there a second?
Could I ask him a question first?
Of course, Mr. Zedron.
Could you see it in your motion to not only have the 6-month revocation, but then a 2-year or year and a half probationary period?
Yes, sir. Accepted as a friendly amendment.
I'll second that then.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Does everybody understand the motion and a second? Motion for 6-month probation followed by a year and a half, 6-month revocation, licenses revocation, and a year and a half of probation after that. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes?
No.
No.
Chair votes no as well. So what is that? 1-2 noes by Ballard, Bull, and Tankard. So the motion passes 3-4-5-3. Motion passes. Mr. Ray, your licenses are revoked for only 6 months, followed by a year and a half of probation. Got a lucky day here. Please go with Officer Rhodes, please. Are there any other violators?